Oh, gracious God, help us see the light of your truth through me or in spite of me in the next few moments. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, the good preachers in the conference criticize me. The thing to do today is to preach series. You know, Brian Erickson tells me, he said, you really ought to learn how to preach series. And boy, if anybody ought to know it, ought to be Brian. You know, he is as good as it gets, and he preaches those series. But today is one of those reasons I'm a lectionary preacher, and I think I'm going to die a lectionary preacher. Because I love the fact that you get to tell the story every 3 years, over and over and over again as it comes, and it is. And today, we get to tell part of that story. And I love this Sunday. We don't get to do it but one time a year. But I love this Sunday. If you listen to the reading of that text, if you can sort of, let me just carry you back to Jerusalem this morning. And that particular day, it was the right time. It was the right place. All the pieces were coming together. Jesus knew it, and the people knew it, and they were having a parade. For over 900 years, somewhere between 986 and 956, the historians say, Solomon built the temple. And ever since that day, not once, not twice, but three times a year, every good Orthodox faithful Jew made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And they prayed, and they hoped, and they dreamed that that day of deliverance would come. That day when the covenant was fully implemented and fully restored would come. And they would be the people of God, and they would be heirs to the kingdom. And they, with the Messiah, would live and rule and reign even forever. You see, it was the place. Jerusalem. Then, now, and for 1,000 years before this day, Jerusalem had been holy ground. Jerusalem had been the place that the hope of the world hinged upon, that day would come when God would demonstrate with fullness of glory and all the regality of the Godhead, who he was, what he was like, and that the people there were his people. It was the place where the Messiah would be crowned. It was the place where the covenant would be fulfilled. No more enemies, no more war, no more pain, no more suffering. It was the place. And wow, those people there hoped that today would be the day. If the rocks could have talked, they could have told stories that only we can imagine. Can you imagine for almost 1,000 years... the millions of people who had come, bringing their hopes and their dreams and their prayers and their tears had washed the ground. Can you remember that Sunday, that day, not a Sunday, but that day, the very stones that they were walking on could possibly have been some of the stones left from the destruction of the temple by Nebuchadnezzar just earlier on. If those rocks could talk, those rocks could have told of a people who had come before them, full of hopes and dreams and aspirations, as they were full of hopes and dreams and aspirations. But that temple had fallen in 586 BC as Nebuchadnezzar came in and tore it down and drove the Jewish people out to Babylon to exile. But even then, the story didn't end. Even in exile, the people longed, the people dreamed, the people hoped. God was faithful, and God would restore Jerusalem. God was faithful, and they, as God's people, would rebuild the temple. And guess what? They did. But all during the time of doubt, they dreamed and they never forgot Jerusalem. They never forgot the dream. They never forgot that the kingdom was coming. And with the kingdom, the Messiah would reign even forever. Psalm 137 puts it this way. They didn't forget Jerusalem, because while Jerusalem, and they didn't forget the temple, because while Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed and Jerusalem was under foreign rule, Jerusalem still lived in their hearts. The psalmist in Psalm 137 says, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I am ever to forget you, O Jerusalem." The people didn't forget. The rocks never forgot the promise. The blood, the sweat, the tears, the prayers, the dreams, the hopes that had been shared across those pathways and throughout that section of the country would be forever blessed. The renewed hope came in 536 when Nehemiah rebuilt the temple. And the people said, surely now is the time when the king will come, when the Messiah will come and rule. But 500 years more would pass before this Sunday that we celebrate today would come. If the rocks would talk, if they could just talk. But yet, Jesus knew. When he had met with his disciples the night before, if you heard in the reading, he knew the story. And he knew that Jerusalem was the center of hope and promises for the people of God. The people and Jerusalem had been on again, off again. People had come and people had gone over and over and over again, three times a year, to Jerusalem, hoping that today we celebrate what happened. But they had come really to remember the promises of God. They had come really to remember that there will come a day, regardless of who is ruling Jerusalem, there will come a day when deliverance will take place. And there will be no more tyranny. There will be no more war. There will be no more injustice. But you, as the people of God, will live with God and reign, loving mercy and seeking justice, and walking humbly all the days of your life. They came to Jerusalem to remember who they were. They were the children of God and heirs to the kingdom. Think about that, church folks. Who are we? We are the children of God and heirs to the kingdom. I apologize for every time I've ever stood outside an ICU unit or every time I've walked away from an ICU unit and said, boy, that's pretty hopeless in there. Because you see, this is the week that we celebrate that the kingdom came, and there is no longer any reason for hopelessness, for this is the day when the people there that day heralded the good news of truth found in Jesus our Lord. And while they came to remember that day, now here is Jesus crawling up on the back of a donkey, knowing what he was doing full well, knowing that he was riding into what would become the toughest week of his life, but the most holy week in all of human history. He knew that the people who were there that day, who got it, would never shut up about it again. He knew that even if their faith wavered, the very stones themselves, the rocks, would cry out. And he proclaimed that as prophecy that day. Even if they were to be silent, even if the truth was too strong, the rocks would tell the story. Do you hear the metaphor in that? Do you hear the truth in that? Your name will no longer be Simon, but you will be Petra, the rock. And everyone who comes to profess Jesus Christ as Lord becomes one of those rocks of witness, one of those who will not fall away, will not fade away, but will forever tell the story of the good news of the grace of a God who loves them and a God who came to redeem them. So today, you and I come to remember the story of a God who came in a week that didn't end as it began, but a great reversal from joy and thanksgiving and celebration to abandonment and death and disappointment. But the story is not over, because ever since that first Palm Sunday, ever since that first celebration, the rocks of faith have cried out through the centuries, Jesus Christ is Lord. And His kingdom has come. And if not today, well, maybe tomorrow. Brothers and sisters in Christ, behold the truth. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. If not this year, maybe, just maybe, it'll be next year in Jerusalem. But yet, we, like those who for 900 years, for 1,000 years, have been coming over and over and over again to make the proclamation at this table that that which took place in Jerusalem then is still true today. Hosanna, 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 blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And may you who have ears to hear, hear. Amen.